Hello and welcome back to More Than a Hemline. My name is Danielle Immerman, CMO here at The Reflective, and today I am joined by Sarit. Sarit needs no introduction. I'm sure many of you know who Sarit is. You've seen her pop up all over your Instagram. Everybody loves her, the energy healer of the times. Our energy healer.
Oh, Sarit. So
I met Sarit. Sarit, when did I meet you? A few years ago?
Yeah, I think it was 3 years ago.
Yeah, 3 years ago. I actually found you through Liza.
That's right.
I think, yeah. And I also saw, I think, Lizzie Savetsky post about you. Mm-hmm. So I was like, wow, I have a friend who goes to Sarit and this amazing influencer. Lizzie, I must meet Sarit. And you helped me so much. I was here for about 10 months with you, working with you. And I just, the amount of growth that I had was unlike anything I've experienced in traditional therapy. Yeah. And so I just am so fortunate to have you in my life. And I think your wisdom and just all that you have to offer could be shared with the world. And that's what we're doing here today. You actually came out with a course I started taking. I am halfway through it. I'm on the part about dating now, and I think there's such a connection between dating, relationships, modesty, and it's definitely something that within our community we've spoken to before on different Instagram lives, and we haven't really gotten a clear source of guidance on really how you can integrate your sense of authentic style in a modest way, in a way that still maintains your values in the context of dating. I think it's very tricky for women to navigate, you know, how to show up to a date, how to show up in a relationship authentically, point blank. And then when you start incorporating this layer of modesty within it, there are just so many questions that come up.
Listen, a lot of times girls that are transitioning into modest wear, they get incredible anxiety. And they'll come to me and say, I can't, I used to walk into the room and I have this amazing body and all heads would turn. I wouldn't have to do anything. Everybody looked at me. I was the center of attention. And now I walk in the room and I feel like I'm under the radar. Nobody sees me. And now I have to like work and try to like, I don't know who to be. I don't know what to say. I never used to have to say anything. I would just, it was my presence was enough. And now it's like, I feel like I have a cloud over me and it's so much harder for me to feel like I'm beautiful because I'm not getting all that feedback and all that ogling and all that guys staring at me and my body. And in some way, we were raised from youth to be undressed and society is undressed, the majority. And it's sort of like, you know, very much so, we live in a generation where they say, you know, you shouldn't be ashamed of your body, you should show it. And it's a prideful to show your body and it's more beautiful. Everyone gets to see why you're embarrassed. And I think that there's a very big confusion with the word shame and not embarrassing yourself versus self-worth. Because I grew up, actually, my mother dressed modestly and I went through the religious school system and, you know, we had both options. My mother kind of let us decide if we were going to go the modest path or wear pants. Some of my sisters wore pants. Me and my other sister decided to take upon ourselves modest dress. And I remember that there was a totally different mentality to modest dress. It wasn't this concept of hide yourself and you know, you should be ashamed of your body and there's something immodest about it and bad. It was very much so about use your personality. Don't let people be distracted and sort of stare at and ogle like different parts of your physical being. Let your personality shine. And sometimes it's not even about modest dress. Sometimes it's about, you know, you can have a best friend that's very beautiful and she doesn't have to work very hard to get people's attention. And you very much, and that's why they say that people that are overweight are funny. Why? Because they couldn't really rely on their body to get attention. So they would work their personality much, much, much harder. And everybody loved them because they didn't take for granted that, you know, that people weren't going to look at them just for their physical form. And so modesty is similar in the sense that it covers up in your body in the sense where it protects it. Now, what is it really protecting it from? It's protecting it from people objectifying it and only focusing on that and distracting from the essence of who you are. And girls who grow up modest have to learn to develop their character, their ability to get along with people. They have to be nicer because they can't, you know, like sometimes you'll see this gorgeous girl, right? And she's really outstandingly beautiful. And not always, but sometimes she could be a bitch, right? Why? Because she can be. She gets away with it. She's more beautiful than everyone else and she doesn't have to rely on her characteristics. When you cover your physical form, you're basically saying, outside of my body, I have value. Now, it's very scary if you put all of your value on your physical form because we age and there's always going to be someone who's prettier than you, taller than you, skinnier than you. Then what? Am I less valuable than her? And we, especially in today's society where everything's on Instagram and I know how heavily I use filters and why? Because I'm putting my face forward and I want to be able to project the best version of myself. But real life, real reality isn't like that. You're not walking around the street with a filter. When you go home to your boyfriend or your husband, you don't have a filter. And sometimes even our personality doesn't have a filter because we never had to learn to use our characteristics to enhance ourselves. We just relied on physical parts of who we were to have value. And often you'll see women who have a great body, then they get pregnant and they're very insecure and they feel fat and they don't like how they feel. But it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that if you get bigger or smaller, suddenly you use your value. And a person who's trained from a young age to value their personality doesn't go through such difficulties when they lose or gain weight. They still keep a pretty healthy perspective on their personality. And you were telling me before, you were like, you know, what happens if a girl, she goes out with a guy and she finds herself changing her outfit for him because she doesn't want to be as ostentatious or she kind of changes her style, mutes it down. So when I see a girl that, when she dates a guy, starts to change her outfit, there's definitely a level of inauthenticity there. Either the look she wears when she's outside of that relationship is really her comfort zone, but when she's in front of a guy, she feels like she doesn't want to dominate, she doesn't want to stand out too much, and maybe she has to look closer into her relationship with men. Maybe she's afraid of men, maybe she had a difficult relationship with a father figure, and she always feels like she has to go under the radar. Because your personal style, whether it be color or personality in your style of clothing, shouldn't change when you're around different people. You should really be who you are and enjoy to dress how you enjoy to dress, no matter who you're with. So if you find yourself constantly changing your style to please other people, you have to ask yourself why that is. Am I dressing to please others or do I actually like what I'm wearing? Does it make me feel good about who I am?
Yeah, there's so much there I want to follow up on. I resonate so much with like changing what you're wearing in the context of dating, because I feel like, you know, in conversations I've had with other women who are single, who are going through the dating process, there is this like element, if you have a very strong, colorful, big personality that's expressed through your style, there is this element of like, oh, like maybe it's too much. Maybe like what I'm wearing is too much for the guy that I'm going out with. Maybe I should mute myself.
Well, then what happens is when you end up marrying that guy and you start to go back to your original style, which you will because you get comfortable with that person, they're like, who are you? You tricked me. This isn't who I am. I like a girl who dresses more muted, and now you're this flashy girl and he starts to feel uncomfortable. It's kind of unfair. And it's also unfair to you. You should never be in a place where you feel like you shouldn't shine. Now, the question is, if we get into the nitty-gritty of it, is if a girl has a certain style that's kind of dramatic, it takes attention, and then she sits in front of a guy and she's afraid to kind of put that out there, that means that in front of men, she has this feeling that standing out maybe isn't appropriate. So she has to ask herself, is she maybe dressing inappropriately all the time, all day long? Or does she feel like men are judgmental? Does she feel like this guy that's sitting in front of her is not going to like her if she stands out? And then she has to ask herself why that is, because that's not such a good thing.
Right.
You know, a girl should feel comfortable with a guy to be herself around him and not have to hide who she really is.
Right. Like, I'm very curious about this because it's very complicated, right? Is there a certain energy that you're putting out? Or maybe let's rephrase this. Like, I think to be aware of the energy you're putting out is difficult to reconcile with your internal world and your internal personality and your internal desire to express yourself outwardly. Meaning, you don't want to be detracting from who you are, and you don't want your external expression to potentially mask people from getting to know who you really are. But what if who you really are is in line with how you're expressing yourself externally? Then I find that in the topic of modesty, like, modesty can be applied to your personality. Modesty can be applied to how you speak, to how you think. Like, what does that look like energetically, those expressions of modesty? You know, if you are this kind of person who is, let's say, really artsy and creative, you know, there are many people out there who, you know, they gravitate towards a certain style, whether it's like hipster, grunge, punk. Everybody has their own flavor, and that flavor of style is a manifestation of their internal personality.
Right. But you really want to stay authentic to that, because if you, let's say, for example, have a hipster look, generally speaking, a guy that's square and very conservative isn't going to be drawn to that. And so you have to ask yourself, why is it that I make myself neutral when I date so that guy can't pick up on who I am? Because I'm just going to get myself into trouble. I'm just going to kind of open myself up to a guy who's not really my speed. I've never seen a girl who's a hipster and who is sort of loves a certain kind of style. Very rarely will she end up with someone who's the complete and total opposite of that. Usually the guy she finds attractive dress similarly. And so when you stick to really who you are and your personality trait in clothing, your chances of attracting a guy that fits into your world is much higher.
Right.
So some girls feel like, oh, I don't want to limit myself. Let me tell you something. I know a girl who dresses extremely bohemian, and she did marry a guy that's very square and very conservative dresser. And he knew she dressed like that, and he liked it in spite of it. And so she never really had to change her style. That's rare. Most of the time, you attract a guy like yourself. But in this case, she was very true to who she was. When she was introduced to this guy, she thought he's totally not her type, but he didn't care. He said, you know, he thought it was cute. It's not something he would particularly have chosen for his wife, but he took her with her entire package. And then today they kind of melted and molded into each other, where she a little bit shifted her style, but mainly he appreciated her for who she was. And even though they're very, very different, he accepted it. And so, you know, he finds it just like another charming part of her personality. You should never really be afraid to be who you are, because afterwards, if you're not authentic and you dress just to please the guy, you're going to naturally go back to your own style. And then there's just going to be a lot of conflict there, because it's kind of like if you marry this guy who is very important for you, that he's always dressed up and he's wearing a suit, and he's showered and he's clean, and he is sort of like, you know, what they call today metrosexual, gets his like nails done, and his hair's always like perfect. And then 2 weeks after you date him, the jig is up. You know, he starts to put only sweats on. You never see that suit again. He stops shaving. He doesn't like to wear aftershave. He just tried to impress you for the first 2 weeks of the relationship. You are now stuck with someone who was a facade, and you're disappointed, because part of what we project, part of the image we give off, has a lot to do with our personality. And so whoever you are, be that. Don't be afraid to be who you really are, because your match is in that space. And even if he's not in that space, he's going to accept you for who you are because he chose you based on the truth. Obviously, we all, when we go out, we give our best version of ourselves. But I do think that if a girl is a girl that wears makeup all the time, obviously she's going to do it once she's married too. But if she only wears makeup to the dates and never outside of the date, then there's something inauthentic about that, because you have to show really who you are, you know. And if you never, ever, ever wear makeup, you shouldn't wear one on the date, because you're kind of not being true to who you are. And there are some girls that really look amazing and beautiful without makeup, and that's great for them. And you don't want to pretend to be something that you're not. Just be true to how you feel every day. And I know I love wearing makeup. So, you know, people laugh at me because I could be home with my kids and I don't go out all day. And I always put makeup on. It's like, you know, I love art. And for me to put my makeup on, to do, you know, different colors every day, that's really where I express myself. And so it doesn't matter. My neighbors come over, sometimes they borrow something and they're like, why are you wearing makeup? You're just home. And I'm like, I love to wear makeup. It makes me feel so good. It's like your face is like this canvas.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like your body also, like you could, you get up in the morning and you have this canvas, right? This is your body. And then you open your closet and you have all of these opportunities to be somebody a little bit, you know, exciting that day. And so I always saw dressing as an opportunity to, you know, elevate however you're feeling that day. You know, like there are certain days that you just want to wear black. You know those days.
Yeah.
Where you're like, you don't want to see anyone. You don't have energy for anything. And so you subconsciously don't even realize you just wear black because you just don't want to be seen. You just don't have patience for anyone. And then there are days where you're in a good mood, you're excited, and you wear bold colors, and you dress a certain way. And it really goes according to the mood of that day. But generally speaking, most people have a certain style, and they end up committing to that style.
Yeah. What would your advice be to someone who's struggling to show up authentically in their style, in their personality, whatever, on a date?
I would tell her to look inside herself and see how she feels about men. Why is it that when she's with her girlfriends, she could be her authentic self? And when she's with a man, she feels like she has to do a certain kind of a show. I would have her look at her relationship with her father. Usually, the kinds of relationships we have with men are big indications of how we have a relationship with their own father. And I know girls who have amazing dads who got along great with their dads, and yet they're very attracted, for example, to narcissists. And I speak about that in my course, which is I can tell a lot about a girl by the type of guy she attracts. So, for example, if a girl keeps attracting narcissists, I know that she's on the frequency of giving, because every frequency has its opposite. So if you're attracting only a guy that wants to receive and he's selfish, like a narcissist, then I know all you want to do is give, and you only feel yourself when you're giving. And if you're not giving, you feel worthless. Now that has to do sometimes with your upbringing. So it could be that you have an amazing dad, but your dad gave you a lot of attention when you were a good girl and you made him happy and you did everything that he wanted. And that's the only time you got positive feedback. And so then you're kind of programmed and trained into constantly pleasing a guy and just doing everything for him. So no normal guy, a normal healthy guy wants to give a girl. He wants to be the alpha. He wants to provide. He wants to give her. But if you don't feel yourself when you're receiving and you only feel value when you're giving, you're never going to attract that kind of guy. Even though in your mind you want that guy, you're only going to attract somebody selfish because you're giving it 100%. Which kind of guy is only going to want to receive? A narcissist. And so I have girls, they come to me and basically automatically I know what's wrong with their personality according to the kind of guy that they attract. There's another girl recently that came to me, and every guy she was attracting was obsessed with himself. It wasn't that he was like a narcissist in the sense that he was selfish, but he was all about himself, sending her tons of photos of himself, talking about himself the whole time, not recognizing her. So I understood right away, she's in the opposite frequency of this guy. She has no identity. She wasn't doing a job she loved. She wasn't where she wanted to be. She was kind of timid and afraid to be really who she was. And she basically did a lot of things in her life to stay under the radar because she was afraid. She was afraid to take a risk. She was afraid to do the things that she loved. She thought it wasn't safe. She thought that it wouldn't work out. And then she just kind of stayed under the radar in the job she hated just because she thought maybe this job would make more money. And she kept certain relationships just because they felt like, oh, she knew them from when she was young, etc. And so she would attract, naturally, this guy that was all about me, 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 because she didn't have an identity. And so you could really learn a lot about yourself according to the guy that you're attracting. So if you're attracting, for example, guys with no personality, right? Like they have no opinion or anything, you have to ask yourself, maybe I don't want anyone telling me what to do. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm afraid of being dominated by a man. Maybe my father was controlling. Mm. And you're going out with this guy and you're like, ugh, why do I keep getting these nerdy guys that have no opinion and they don't say anything? Maybe you don't want to hear people's opinion. And so in my course, I talk a lot about how to build your self-worth through dating and how to figure out who you really are, because the kind of person we attract really is a reflection of where we're holding in our life. And so, you know, a lot of times the girls, like, you come to me and they, you know, they pay a certain amount of money for an hour and we sit and we hone in on them. But I just felt like it wasn't fair because everybody deserves access to this information. And I kind of saw all of these girls going through all these different things for the last 10 years. And I kind of compiled all of the blockages I see that women have towards dating and finding their soulmate, and men too. And in this course, I talk about how to develop your authenticity and your personality, and at the same time, how to create the space to receive the person that you love.
It's so important, really. Like, we speak about authenticity when it comes to modesty, when it comes to style, and like beyond that, when it just comes to who you are, because at the end of the day, like, when we're talking about modestly specifically, if you're taking it on or you're struggling with it or what have you, it's not a sustainable life to live if it's not true to who you are. And you're saying the exact same thing when it comes to relationships, when it comes to XYZ in your life.
On this course, I also talk about how to open yourself up to money.
Yeah.
Really, where you're holding emotionally is really where your blocks and your blockages are. And so if you're blocked to wealth, you're blocked to a good relationship, you're blocked to shining through your personality, and you feel like you're being held back to dressing modestly, there's something going on inside that you are not willing to face or look at. And very often you could see it the most in relationships. And actually dressing modestly helps because you're taking the focus away from the physical parts of you that distract, and you really start to focus in on your personality. So girls will come to me when they're starting to become modest and they're like, oh my God, I don't have any tools. I have so much anxiety now. Nobody's staring at me. Nobody's giving me that feedback. Well, you were trained to get feedback of your self-worth by men staring at your parts of your body. And that has to be corrected because you have to be able to have good feedback and self-worth without that. Because like I said, what happens when a woman is pregnant and she loses her shape, or she gains weight, or she gets older, which happens naturally. Mm-hmm. And often you'll see these celebrities, they're so terrified of aging, their whole face looks plastic, they're swollen from all of these shots and injections that they're doing. They're so terrified of growing old because everything that they built was based just on how they physically looked. It's a very, very difficult industry. There's a lot of depression there. There's a lot of suicide there. There's a lot of drug overdoses. I mean, why is everybody in that industry doing so much drugs? It's because it feels so empty to only have someone value you for how you look. It's such a surface, an external thing that has nothing to do with who you are. Mm-hmm. Especially since we don't really have so much power over how we look. Yeah, we can wear makeup, we can exercise, we can do surgery, but at the end of the day, God creates our shape and form, and he creates it perfectly. And it's really who we are. And so, yes, we can always do whatever we can to enhance that by working out. And some girls, you know, will get a nose job and they'll feel great about themselves. That's fantastic. But when you take it to a degree where you're cutting up every single part of your body because nothing is ever good enough, that's a disease.
Yeah.
That's somebody who's completely lost track of who they are, and they don't have value with who they are. It's just a matter of how they look. It's difficult.
Yeah.
It's difficult. We live in a difficult generation. Everything is fake. You know, I was once at the airport and, you know, I was traveling with my kids. So as soon as we got on top to the shopping area, of course, all my kids dumped their bags on me, like, watch our bags. And they just all ran off to different areas. So I was kind of like stuck there because I couldn't leave all their bags. And there was this couple next to me, and I'll never forget this. And I feel like God put that in my space so I could see it. There's this couple, and it seemed like they were going on their honeymoon. And they kept recording over and over and over this little clip they were making. I guess it's a story or something about they're at the airport and this and that. And they were fighting like maniacs because she's like, you're in the frame. No, you are. You keep talking. It's my turn to talk. And they kept reshooting it. I was just sitting there staring at them, and they were just taking take after take. And they were like cursing each other out. It was crazy. And then their final take was this, like, oh my God, we're so excited. It's amazing. And I'm sure it like blew up, and like 1,000 of their family members saw this, and everybody was sitting at home jealous. Meanwhile, these two people don't even know how to talk to each other, how to respect each other. But, you know, you're sitting at home and you get this clip, and there's this couple that's like, oh my God, we're going on our honeymoon. We're going to Greece. We're going here. And it looks like they have this perfect life. And it's just not true. It's just not true. And yeah, you know, Instagram is important. How we dress is important. And we always have to look nice. But we also have to develop our character, because the quality of life that we have and the relationships that we have is really what makes people happy. You know, they did a survey on Harvard for people who graduated. I think it's the longest survey ever done, like 70 years, where they tracked people who graduated from Harvard, which is like considered the most esteemed place. And they measure to see who considered themselves to have the highest quality of life. And they saw that it wasn't the richest guy that graduated from Harvard who felt like he had a high quality. He didn't necessarily rate himself as a high quality of life, but it was the ones who stayed in their marriage, who had the best interpersonal relationship with their kids, who kept very close family ties. So really, being modest is an opportunity to develop our character, to develop our personality, to feel safe inside our body, not to feel like we have to objectify it in order to get attention. It's only a net positive. There's nothing, in my opinion, negative about it, because you can really define your style even if you're dressed modestly. You know, if you're covering certain parts of your body, you could be very, very stylish and look beautiful. It's just, it's a beauty without distracting. It's a beauty without, you know, sucker punching the person you walk in the room. Because you have to think about it like this, you know, as women, we also have to respect each other. If I'm with my husband and we're on a date, and this woman walks into the restaurant and she's completely undressed, it's only human nature for my husband to turn around and, you know, if he's a good guy, he's going to try to turn away, and he's going to try to not look at her. Why? Because he wants to create intimacy with me. And if he's objectifying other women, there's less intimacy between us. And so as women, dressing modestly really respects each other, because it kind of gives everyone an even and fair playing ground where everybody can be in their relationship with their significant other and not have to feel like another woman is coming into the picture and sort of sucker punching, and everybody's mouth drops. And then what? Okay, so you got everybody's mouth to drop. It's not like they're going home with you. It's not like they're going to have an intimate relationship with you. It's just going to make everybody else in the room feel like somehow less, which isn't true. Because we all know that you see these celebrities, they marry these models. They're so gorgeous. They seem almost fake at how beautiful they are. And the marriage lasts a month. But why? She's the prettiest girl in the United States of America. Isn't that enough? How come that marriage didn't last? Because beauty can only take you so far. Mm-hmm. You know, you, after a month, I always say this, after a month, everybody's equal. Like, you could be married to the most gorgeous guy and you could be married to the average looking guy. After a month, they're all the same. Because when familiarity breeds contempt, when you get used to someone, you live with someone, it gets familiar and you kind of forget physically how a person looks. You're much more attracted to their character than to their physical appearance, because that, after a while, you kind of get used to. You know what I mean? It's kind of like an outfit that you wear when you first get it. It's your favorite outfit. After you've worn it 7 or 8 times, you might even get tired of it.
Yeah.
And so how do you keep the excitement and the value to a relationship? It's by building the personality behind the physical looks. Same thing with your outfit. You have to respect it. You have to cherish it. You have to keep it clean. You have to keep it looking nice and fresh. And so I always say, focus your relationships on character, and focus your looks on your style, but not on objectifying your body. And make sure that inside your body, you feel good about who you are.
Mm. I am so happy we had this conversation, Sri. I feel like it's just so important. Relationships, dating, modesty, your connection to self, it's all so intertwined. And I'd love to leave off with a situation that I think is very common for many single women. And I'd love to ask for your either fighting words or an affirmation to help women get through that. And that is, in the context of dating, especially in the Jewish world, many women go to matchmakers. And the matchmakers very often will make a comment on your appearance. They'll say, oh, you need to lose weight in order to XYZ. Or, oh, that extra piercing you have is going to be problematic in finding the kinds of guy that you're looking for. Or they'll make a comment on subduing your style a little bit.
So that's really the question of authenticity we were talking about before. Because if you have several piercings, it does say something about you.
Yeah.
But if you have several piercings and you're looking for this guy that's, like, again, very in the box and conservative, maybe you're not being honest with what it is that you want. Because if that matchmaker is telling you, oh, you're a mismatch to this guy, that means there's something's going on here wrong with communication within yourself. You know, very often a girl will sit in front of me and tell me, oh, the guy I want to date has to be fit. He has to be working out every day. He has to be shaven, clean, dressed up, da da da. And the girl that's sitting in front of me does not go to the gym. She's severely overweight. She doesn't take care of herself. It just, there's a mismatch there, because the guy that's fit and who's taking care of himself, he's going to want a girl that's aligned with his philosophy in life. And a girl who's bohemian, who has multiple piercings, she kind of is looking for a guy that's out of the box. So why would she be set up with a guy who's very conservative? So if the matchmaker is telling her, hey, subdue yourself for this guy, that guy is not for you. You want to be true to who you are. Now, let's say you do want that guy and that is your ideal. Then yes, you do have to conform. And it's like anything else in life, where if I want to lose weight, I have to conform and eat less and exercise. But yeah, it's so much easier to just continue eating ice cream, but I'm not going to get to my goal weight. So you have to really ask yourself, if you're hearing these statements from matchmakers, am I not telling them the truth of what I really want? Maybe I'm afraid of that guy that's bohemian and out there and who would like me to have multiple piercings. Maybe I would rather play it safe and go for the very conservative guy. But you know what? He might not be a match for me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Be real.
Be real. Be real. Be don't be afraid to have a guy that's like you. You know, and if you don't like you, then change you.
Wow.
Exactly. Yeah. If you don't like who you are, so you have two options. You either marry a guy who's similar to you and that's it. You guys are going to suffer together, or change yourself. You should not walk around feeling like you don't like yourself. And if you love your second piercing or your third piercing and it makes you feel good about who you are, then that's great. And then you need a guy who appreciates that. If you don't, if you feel ashamed of it, and you, when you go out on a date, you take it off, that there's some sort of conflict here, that you're not really being honest with yourself of who you really want to be. Okay? Mm. Most of the time, well, I shouldn't say that. Some of the time, a girl's wearing a third or fourth piercing because she thinks it looks cool and it'll impress her friends. And maybe that's not authentic to who she really is, because she really wants the conservative guy. or the opposite. That's really who she is, and the conservative guy's not for her. So you have to check yourself. What's the truth? You know?
Yeah.
And sometimes going to these matchmakers helps you discover really who you are, because they start asking hard questions.
Yeah.
And then you have to start to be honest with who you are.
Yeah.
Yes.
Honesty. That's authenticity. Right.
Exactly.
Connection to self. Exactly. I love it. So this was amazing.
Yes, we can do this as often as you guys like.
Can we, please?
Yes, and people can call in and ask their questions.
Yes.
I'm happy to do a response. I think it's very important. And I'm also offering you guys, anyone that joins the course, the course is going to be not just on finding your soulmate. It's also on opening yourself up to wealth. And every month I upload another course. We're going to talk about anxiety, health. We're going to talk about a lot of different issues. And I also have my stone course on it.
Yeah.
How to like learn about crystals and stones. And so $50 off anyone who comes through you guys.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
And if anybody has any questions or anything, we can do this, you know, if there's a strong response, we can do this every 2 weeks where we go through everybody's questions. And I think this is a very interesting podcast and a very fascinating topic and subject.
It's so important.
You know, we love and accept everyone, whether they're dressed modestly or not modestly. God loves everybody the same. Modesty isn't for God, it's for us.
Exactly.
It's a gift.
It's a gift.
It's a gift.
It's beautiful. At the end of the day, whether it's modesty, relationships, point blank, authenticity is the most important. One of the most important things we can learn how to cultivate within ourselves.
Exactly.
And that's what your course offers in every aspect of your life. And that's what we hope to offer within the vehicle of modesty. So this was a beautiful conversation that I harmonized so well.
Yes.
If anyone would like to take Sarit's course, which I highly recommend, you can find the link in episode notes below on the podcast player of your choice. And again, thank you for joining us. We're so excited to have you here as always. Like Sarit said, any questions, any feedback, if you want to hear more, please email me, Danielle@the-reflective.com, and we will make sure to get all of your questions answered. And if you wouldn't mind leaving us a review, that would be so, so appreciated on the podcast player of your choice. That way we can move on up in the charts and help people access authenticity in their own lives. Thank you for joining us.